And the facts is this, boys. There's three sides to every story. There's my side, your side, and the truth.
Kia, and welcome to The Curb Podcast. My name is Andrew F. Pierce, and this podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Perth, Western Australia. Sovereignty never ceded. Filmmaker Anupam Sharma talks about his new documentary, Brand Bollywood Down Under, in this in-depth interview, which touches on the cross-cultural relationship between India and Australia on screen, and what makes a Bollywood film, and also about what the Australian-Indian Visual Co-Production Treaty is. Anu is the director of cross-cultural films like An Indian and The Run, and has worked as a line producer for major Bollywood films like Love Story 2050 and Premagaan, both of which feature in Brand Bollywood Down Under. To launch the film, Anu is touring around Australia with screenings in Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, the Gold Coast, and more. To find out where Brand Bollywood Down Under is screening, visit the Facebook page for the film in the show notes. For now, here's a trailer for the documentary, and then Anu talks about his film.
Once upon a time, in a land rich with thousands of years of stories, moving images arrived and gradually became another religion. A way of life for millions hungry for escape. Music, drama, song. Thriving on the fanatic love of millions, I became a universal language for India. During my global rise, I fell in love with this land down under. Australia.
India's Bollywood is moving in.
A little bit of Bollywood, Canberra style.
The biggest Indian movie in Australia.
Like all love stories, it wasn't easy.
We weren't quite sure how to deal with them.
Spot boys and umbrella boys.
Sorry, can I start again?
No, you can't.
Can we just close the camera just for a sec?
But it was worth every moment. This is that story. My story. I am Bollywood.
Obviously, you've been doing this for about 20 years, trying to build this film up for about 20 years. So let's jump back to kind of the kernel of the idea for Brand Bollywood Down Under, because it's a very expansive, deep film.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I mean, you know, the idea has been germinating. I think Lisa Duff, who is a producer at that time, she and I were starting out. And she said, she came to a couple of Bollywood sets and she goes, honey, doing these Bollywood sets, they look amazing. And as filmmakers, we just look for stories everywhere. So I thought, I'll make a documentary. And we were shooting behind the scenes anyway. So one day I'll do a documentary. It never happened. During the whole 2010 Victorian fiasco, someone said you should do it. I said, no, it's a negative film. I won't do it. And then I believe, like, you know, every film has a soul. And I think the right time came during COVID, when we were sitting trying to see what we can do. And we had an amazing editorial guy join us on our editing machine, Josh Mott. And we started digitizing stuff. And, you know, during COVID, I think in the first lockdown, there were three or four of us in the office because we could still come. And we just watched all these amazing clips I had taken 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I think there's a film. Let's do a film. And we waited during COVID. We started doing what we could. And then when COVID finished and the first flight, I was out to India to talk to all these stars and most importantly, see if they can give me some free archival footage to make a film. And they were very kind. They were very kind. They were very generous with their time. As you have seen in the film, we've got some of the iconic Indian films given to us, you know, ex grata, no charges. And in fact, the only archival we have paid for are to the Western companies who have bought rights of Indian footage and Indian Bollywood film from India, which was fascinating, So the germ of the idea came. And then I think the penny dropped when I went on a lookout for an editor, because I knew the film would be made or broken by an editor. And my only condition was it should have never been to India and should have never watched a Bollywood film. And out of the blue, we met Karen Stein, because I didn't want to narrate a film with me. narrating it in terms of as a director, because then, you know, then you kind of, you're in that group where you assume everyone knows about Bollywood. So I wanted, so she brought all the fresh approach, which you see, because things which were taken for granted by me, she goes, no, I know that's in your brain. I don't know about it, and I'd like to put it in the film. So she co-wrote the film with me. Both of us wrote the film together. And what you see is a result of her hard work and me just goofing around.
Well, I mean, it's more than goofing around. Like, it's a really valuable document of history. I mean, I know that there are so many films that are shot here in Australia from all around the world, but this relationship that is being built up with Indian cinema is so important, and to have not really had it ever documented so deeply as it has been here before has been quite a shame. So it's great that you've been able to bring it to life here, because it's something which I was not really all that familiar with. I knew that Bollywood films were shot here, but not in this way, not so, you know, so many of them. And also the relationship with politics as well. It's so deep too. It's so interesting. So thank you in that regard. Do you feel like a historian in some sense then?
I mean, I still feel like a storyteller, and I still feel like a crazy Bollywood fan. And if you notice in the form of the film, I've tried to bring that, whether it's the cliched credits, which happened in a Bollywood film, or the intermission, or the fact that we have shot 16:9, or the fact that we managed to get a guy, you know, one of the most popular singers at the moment, Arijit Singh, to sing the final song and dance number. So we have tried to pay homage to Bollywood, not just in content, but in form. And history, yes, I mean, you know, it's more than the historian. It's you are my target audience, Andrew, and all other non-Indian Australians, because over the years, the number of questions I have been asked about Bollywood and why is it 3 hours long and why do you have music? And all this starts by telling my friends like you and my non-Indian Australians the origins of cinema and why Indians are such passionate, prolific consumers of cinema, and consequently the most passionate, prolific producers of cinema. It's because when moving images came literally months after they were exhibited in France, while the West was happy they could see their images move, in India they were happy that they could see their thousands of years of history on cinema and they could hear their music. And that is the essential difference, kind of thing. And that is why it has taken on the form it has. And I'm glad that we also could tell the people that Bollywood is not the only cinema. You know, you've got Tollywood, Mollywood, then you've got the art house cinema, and you've got cinema without songs and music in it. And then you've got cinema like Bandit, like Beckham or Lion or Hotel Mumbai. So yeah, so it's an amazing journey. It's a very fast-paced journey, but I still wanted to do a theatrical film, not a series. So we've tried to limit it to 93 because you cannot do a film on Bollywood for TV. It has to be for theaters.
Yeah, because that's where everybody goes and sees it. There's beautiful shots of people streaming into cinemas and enjoying the films because it's a validation of culture. And it's a validation of who you are as a person as well. Getting to see yourself on screen, hear songs, you know, experience your culture on screen is so important. And I'm curious for you as somebody who has, you know, feet in both worlds, in India and Australia, what's that like to be able to present that on screen and explore that on screen?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like if my parents were separated, just bring them together for a date. And, you know, getting rid of the differences among them and triggering a new friendship between them, you know. It was fun because, you know, I hear both sides of the stories. And for me, you know, I'm to Australia, I'm narrating it as an Indian. To Indians, I'm narrating it as an Australian. And, you know, it became more of a personal journey for me, Andrew. Because a lot of stuff which is, and we were very particular because the editor and a number of festival people who are friends of mine, they wanted to see it as a festival journey, and that would have been as a festival film, which would have been possible if it was my personal journey. And they said, you have to make it a personal journey. The festivals will love it. But having directing the film and then doing it on me, it was a very, very risky fine line of promoting myself and vanity and being historian. So we kept away, and the first version of the film we got had none of me inside it. And the editor said, Anun, this is lying as well, because we have to tell. So what we decided as a compromise was to pick up, not to shoot with me, but to pick up any of my news clippings from 2000 and use them and cheat a bit of some voiceover. So it's essentially my story too, and the story of every migrant who comes to Australia, who is misunderstood, then understood, then welcomed, and then becomes a part of Australian culture. And the same happened with Bollywood. When it came, people didn't know how to react. Then they were questioning its special ways of working and making cinemas. Then it was welcomed, and then now it's part of Australian subculture. So for me, it's kind of my story of every migrant, but in a musical, entertaining, colorful way.
Did you discover about yourself then in retelling this story of your own journey? Because you played an integral part in it in a lot of ways.
I discovered that I should not have been lured by the big bucks of line producing and producing for Bollywood. Because I had a young family and we all struggle in Australia, but to have this revenue source and this really profitable business for 10 years pushed my directing career by 5 or 7 years. So I ended up directing my first feature in 2013 with An Indian. I just discovered that I should have at least preponed that by 10 years and should have directed my first feature in 2003. That's one thing I discovered, but I'm not complaining about it. The other thing I discovered was that there was, you know, but that I think one of the most beautiful things, if I would have had to do the journey again, I wouldn't have changed anything. That was a very interesting discovery. I would have still taken the same decisions I took because a lot of those decisions were non-commercial, but they were setting up the future for people like me. We just finished talking to Alicia, who is an Indian-Australian journalist. And she goes, you know, I grew up and I for me to have a full-time profession in film and media in this industry, you know, that was a discovery I made that I can get others to do it. They don't have to become engineers and doctors. Apart from that, I discovered that I should not overestimate the friendship of people who were giving me all these archives for free, because it was the last 5% which really killed me. And the moment some of the big companies in India, they realized it was a foreign film, I had quotes, Andrew, of $250,000 Australian for 40 seconds of a song sequence. I said, I can't. They said, oh, but you're making a foreign film, so you're in dollars. And because you know the boss, we can give you a 10% discount, so you just have to give us $220,000. And I couldn't, so we started swapping archives. So last 4 months have been just swapping archival material without losing the essence of the film. And thankfully, we had more well-wishers and more lovers of cinema than I would have imagined, who said, yeah, sure, Anu, just use it, just thank us in the film. So that was an interesting.
Yeah, discussion. I can imagine. Like, I know that certainly for filmmakers all around the world, like, people get this illusion that because you're making a film, you've got millions of dollars behind you. But a lot of it is independent filmmaking. A lot of it is, you know, you're sitting in your home and doing it, you know, after hours of work and stuff like that. It's a lot of blood, sweat and tears that goes into filmmaking. And it shows on screen. There's a lot of passion and a lot of vibrancy here. So you've got a lot to be proud of. I'm grateful that it exists.
Thank you. And I think that's more of it is Karen. She has to be, you know, I'm sure she's proud of it.
Yeah, definitely. The film opens with people talking about a complicated relationship with the word Bollywood. And I'm curious if you can talk about your relationship with the word Bollywood. What's your feelings on that particular word to describe this form of cinema?
I mean, you know, my answer is very cliche one, what's in a name? If Bollywood can grab attentions, I'm going to use it. And that is the key reason why the film title has the name Bollywood in it. You know, when you want to give kids some healthy food, you cover it by some cheese or junk food. And that's what we try to do. If Bollywood is enticing people to look at the film and then learn more about Indian cinema in Australia and Australian Indian cinema, so be it. And Bollywood is now part of, you know, vocabulary. And it's not just me. It's, you know, I saw a media release come out when the co-production treaty was being signed from Brisbane to Bollywood. And everyone was laughing. I said, because the co-production treaty is not even reality. I mean, people are using the word Bollywood. I remember a very senior journalist, I won't name her, about 15 years ago, she was doing a story for the Fin Review. And she called me and she goes, Anu, have you got a quote about Bollywood? And I said, are you writing about films now? She goes, no, I'm doing this article for a financial article and I'm doing it on the mine sales in Queensland. I said, so? She goes, well, if I use the word Bollywood or use a Bollywood star image, to lead into the article. I might get page 3 rather than page 8 or 9. And I said, okay. So she started the film with, you know, you have seen Bollywood films shooting here. It's not just Bollywood, but big, rich mining magnates who are coming to Australia as well. So the first two lines were Bollywood enticing the readers with an image, which took the article to page 3. And the rest was all about boring mining stuff. So everyone has used it, you know, as a conversation breaker, kind of, or the icebreakers.
Which, I mean, it's a shorthand, isn't it? And like, if it gets people paying attention and things like that, then so be it. I'm curious, at the end, you talk about there's the title screen saying that the Australian Indian Visual Co-Production Treaty has been signed. Can you talk about that as well, about what that means and what it actually is?
So, yeah, so it has been signed. We were at a Senate hearing last month, and I think it's being ratified pretty soon. It just means, Andrew, that I can tell my modern day Australian story the way I want it to, the way I want to tell it without compromising on my key talent. When I started 25 years ago, I used to take a box called NESB, which is non-English speaking background. Today, I also take a box called CALD, which is culturally and linguistically diverse background. But in 25 years, if I go out and look for experienced feature writers of South Asian origin, I don't have many choices. The co-production treaty would mean that I can find a star writer from India who has had a more experience, means I can hire a star from India without losing the Australian-ness of my story, not just creatively, but also for my producer offset and for all the help we get from Screen Australia and other agencies. So I can still make Australian stories without having to compromise on being forced to hire from a limited pool, because unfortunately for 25 years, we haven't done much and we still don't have, you know, we have only a handful of talent, not to the level we would have or should have had after promoting diversity for 25 years. So for me, it just gives me more independence. And most of it, Andrew, is guided by private investment. We always complain about lack of private investment in Australia. The moment you make an India-centric film and you combine it with a producer offset from the government and you combine it with the transparent and professional style of working in Australia and you combine it with a completion guarantor, suddenly that Australian project, that India-centric Australian project, is very appealing to foreign investors. And we have been proving it for the last 8 years. Even this film has an investment from UK, America, India, and Sydney. But the moment these investors come on board, then they want to know, okay, I know we are happy to do that, but we don't want to risk our money. Can we have some star writers? Can you get a writer from India who has won an award? Or a writer from UK? Well, UK we already have. So for me, it becomes easy to cater to these investors without compromising the commercial viability of my film. And the other important thing which came out, we had a panel at South by Southwest. This co-production treaty would also mean that Australia can have meaningful collaboration with independent Indian filmmakers who may find it hard to get a film up and funded or get a film up with international collaboration because of a taboo subject of an LGBTQ, or because they're speaking against corruption, or because they might be speaking against government bodies. So it gives us another opportunity to give voice to both Australians and Indians in telling stories without losing out on those grounds.
That's a wonderful rundown of it, and I'm glad that it exists and has been, you know, soon to be ratified, because it means so much for creative people, not just in India, but in Australia. That I'm excited to see what kind of creative journey comes out of it. Not to diminish the seriousness and the impact of it, but one of the things that is talked about in Brand Bollywood is the importance of tea on sets. And I'm curious if you can talk about whether the tea has improved on Australian sets at all over the years.
Look, the curries have definitely improved. And it is fascinating, you know, Lynn Gailey, God bless her, she used to be the Federal Imports Officer. And when she started making, you know, there was a lot of confusion about visas. Finally, we got it all right after 5 or 6 projects. And they have to give her no objection. She goes, what's a tea wala? I said, person who serves tea. And Kingston said, you know, he was at FTA, said, I'm sure we can find that person here. I said, yeah, but the person you find here will be $250 a day, you know, kind of thing. And these are on monthly wages with them. So they said, oh, you have to give them Australian wages. I said, yes, but still they want cultural things. You know, you don't object to an entourage of a Hollywood actor coming in a private plane. They can even bring their dogs with them and get into trouble, like Johnny Depp's wife did. But an Indian cannot bring a tea wala. And they said, yeah, you're right. So So they started, and it was fascinating, Andrew, because I remember we first would have Indian food on set. And funnily, the first complaint came from me on the long film. We did a four-week film way back in 99. And I said, you know what? As an Indian, even I don't eat that much Indian food on you know, every day, man. So we said, okay, we'll have a Western caterer, just like we do, who will cook food. And we'll have an Indian caterer who will deliver the Indian food, and we'll have two tables. And the second day I go on set, all the Australians are on the Indian side of the catering, and all the Indians are on the Australian side of the catering. It was fascinating for me. And I was just looking and I was smiling at that. So this is a kind of a long-winded answer to, is the tea improved? Look, it has improved. They're more getting used to coffee. They're more getting used to our Australian unit. I remember doing a TV commercial with some big Bollywood stars, and they saw a coffee machine, you know, an espresso coffee machine. They were excited, said, you know, bleep the tea. We want a latte and a piccolo. So we are evolving and they are evolving. And, you know, umbrella boys are now referred to as production assistants or personal assistants, you know. So we all evolve, and we did, and but they still have tea on set. And what we do is usually an Indian crew member would tell the Australian unit guy, look, can I just make it my way? You know, put some herbs and spices and make chai. And so they still do it, but the chai is made by the unit guy because we have a full-fledged professional unit. We haven't had it for a while, sadly. There's been no main Indian film which has shot since 2013.
So. Is that changing soon, hopefully?
I don't know, hopefully, but I hope it changes because, you know, I left servicing, or we only do TV commercials. But a few of us, whether it was me or people like Joe Thomas who did Hotel Mumbai and others who were really into the heart of this thing. I mean, at least on me professionally, personally, it dawned that, you know what, we have serviced Bollywood and Indian cinema enough. It's time to shift gear, get some more power, stop servicing in India and start collaborating with them. Because that's where we have power. That's where we have more control. That's where we can tell more shared stories. And also servicing in India was a losing battle when you have Maldives and UK and Canada wooing them. And on top of that, you have got, we have got a very spoiled Australia. It's spoiled by a $150 million Hollywood film and a $140 million, you know, Chinese film. If you and I were running a business, would we spend our limited marketing dollars on a $2 million Bollywood film or a $200 million Chinese Hollywood co-production? And the answer is pretty clear. So I knew that the servicing was going to be limited. Plus, most of the Australian locations had been showcased. So you know, I hope it changes for the coming generation or the next generation of people servicing them. I doubt it will. But that's more for the benefit of Australia, because we have got so many wonderful stories, Andrew. I mean, we get a script every 2 weeks of an Indian, I mean, one of the films which came out, Sahela at South by Southwest, is a story about a gay Indian born, you know, Australian born Indian guy who's coming out of the closet. Or the story I'm doing next, which is a thriller with Kathy Rhoda based on true events, an out and out popcorn sensible thriller about the domestic violence and dowry abuse of Indian migrant women in Melbourne. And there's so many such stories. And these stories are getting investment out of India and out of Europe and out of America. So I would rather tell these stories, and hopefully they will have the same Bollywood stars. So yeah, you know, we will still be making tea, but it'll be on our terms.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I know, I've really appreciated being able to talk to you about your work and this film. Again, I had so much fun watching it, and I felt so enlightened by it. As you're saying, like, I hope the audiences get as much joy from it as I did, because, you know, now I've got a whole list of films that have been shot here, and not just shot here, but ones that, you know, I've been aware of, but I've kind of pushed up on my watch list now. As we wrap up, I'm curious if there's a particular Australian shot Bollywood title that you would hope that people would seek out if they haven't already done so.
They have to watch Dil Chahta Hai, which we talk about in the film. Julie Marlowe talks about it, because it's a film which not only changed the way Bollywood films told the story, but also how they produced the stories. So you have to watch Dil Chahta Hai, which has all the biggest stars. And otherwise, you know, we have been very fortunate to have so much support. We start a national roadshow from Sunday with parliaments and speakers and ministers hosting the screening of the film, but most importantly, having panel discussions about how Australia can tap in to the potential of Indian cinema for our benefit in Australia. You know, whether it's the arts minister in South Australia, the speaker of Western Australian Parliament, or Andrew Charlton from the federal parliament, They are being so supportive of this film. So please seek out, come to a panel discussion, come to a red carpet screening. And for all the Indians watching, or hearing this, every time you go and watch this film, take your two non-Indian friends because they will learn a lot about Bollywood.